Tim McManus. It's a midweek Eagle report. Tim working, of course, for ESPN.com, covering the Eagles. And I don't know how many football issues are out there right now, other than the New England Patriots making a boffo trade. Tim, what do you think of that? Brandon Cook's going, the Rams are all in.
Yeah, the Rams are loading up. You know, the first thing that pops into my mind, Mike, is that, they better be ready to do some personality sort of handling, I think, in L.A. Of course, everybody in Philadelphia is really acutely aware of what it's like when you throw a bunch of high-profile guys together in one-off season and see what happens. That was the Dream Team in 2011, and that was a disaster. They seem to think that Sean McVay is the type of personality that can basically make anything work. But that's a big roll of the dice. But obviously, they have a huge amount of talent, but you know, it's to be determined whether it all meshes together. But I think if you're looking at it from a Philadelphia perspective, I mean, there's some teams that are coming for the crown, and the Rams are certainly among them.
All right, so what's going on now with the Birds? And kind of a lull period here. What's the next? I guess we're waiting for the draft, and or what else is up?
Yeah, so Paul Warlow got signed yesterday to add to the linebacker core, kind of a low-key move, but one that helps them for depth purposes. And also, if Michael Kendricks ends up getting traded, and I think that's one thing that you have to keep monitoring as you're leading up to the draft, and once you get to the draft, whether they are in fact going to move on from Kendricks. And I think that there are some signals there that suggest that they're at least in position to do so and have floated out, you know, the possibility of him being moved. So that's something to watch. And then also, I think, you know, what's interesting to me is Brandon Graham. Now, he's still without that long-term deal. The Eagles and his representation still have yet to come to an agreement on an extension. He's coming into the final year of his contract, an important piece, you know, one of the heroes of Super Bowl 52. And that's a really interesting one to me, because I don't think that you want to get to a point where this drags into the start of OTAs and minicamp, and you face the potential threat of Brandon Graham not being there. I mean, I don't think that's really how you want to take your first step into sort of your defense of the Super Bowl title. So that's one that I've been monitoring pretty closely.
Well, what do you think is, I mean, they can't afford to let him go, can they? So, well, he's got him backed into a corner. What do they do?
I think that he's got leverage. I think he's got a lot of it, because it's a position that they clearly value. It's one of the vital positions in all of the NFL. You got to be able to get pressure off of the edge. He's been doing it at a really high level the past couple of years, and especially when, you know, you've moved on from Vinny Curry, and so you do have Dirk Barnett in the fold, but you don't have a whole lot in the pipeline when you're talking about long-term outlets. So I think he's got leverage. I think that there is mutual interest, and that there has been conversations between the two sides. It's just a matter of kind of finding that common ground, but to this point, they haven't done it. And I think it would be in the interest of certainly the Eagles and both parties to try to get something, you know, signed within the next week or two.
All right. What about the 3 weeks till the draft? The tight end situation is still the way it is. They've got one guy there, and they've got the Billy Brown, I guess, from the practice squad. But what's going to happen, tight end? Is that the position they're going to target with their first round pick?
Well, I think they could. I mean, you know, the situation that the Eagles are in is they have a really good roster, and so they have flexibility. It depends sort of who falls to them at 32. And there's the option on top of that, if the guys that are remaining, once they are on the clock at the end of that first round, are all sort of in the same cluster, then they have the option of trading out from 32 into the second round to gain some additional picks, because as of right now, they have the fewest amount of picks overall in the NFL, tied for the worst with 6. And they have none in the second and third round, so I'm sure that they would like to bolster, you know, their quality of draft picks here. So that could be an option for them. But if they stick at 32, I think the tight end is a potential option for them. Like, you know, Dallas Goedert, South Dakota State, is one that he just got mocked to them by Mel Kiper. And I think that he makes a lot of sense on a couple of different levels. One, as you rightly point out, they don't really have anybody alongside Zach Ertz that's a proven commodity. Goddard played against Carson Wentz, and actually his representation, that's when they first caught wind of him. The comps to him are of Zach Ertz, And, you know, he has a really nice highlight reel if you go and watch what he's able to do, just a physical specimen, one-handed catches, you know, darting down at the sidelines with these long touchdowns. And he's repped by the same agency as Carson Wentz. So I think that there's a possible connection there. And then, you know, there's a good cluster of guys with Hayden Hurst out of South Carolina, and then your boy Mike Gesicki, whether he goes in the second round is to be determined. But yeah, there's a nice group of tight ends that they can choose from right around that area.
All right, now to replenish their picks, do you think there is a move coming to replenish the picks that they don't have?
I think that they're always exploring. I mean, we know that at the way that Howie Roseman operates, and so you never sleep on him. I mean, he's always looking to move, and he has already talked about the fact that they need to build up their stockpile of picks, not just this year, but over the next handful of years, in anticipation of that long-term deal for Carson Wentz. In other words, they can't keep handing out these big contracts to veterans. They're going to have to build some of their roster with young quality talent. And the way to do that is through the draft. So absolutely, they're looking to build up that arsenal. You know, Michael Kendricks is one that keeps to mind. I think that they've made multiple moves now at linebacker, bringing fresh bodies in. They re-signed Nigel Bradham, and Kendricks has been on the block for multiple seasons now. And it's just a matter of whether they can get value for him. But if they can get, say, you know, let's call it a third-round pick or something like that, I think they would. You know, I think they would move it. And there was some conversation about moving on, potentially, as Chris Mortensen had brought up on our airwaves, of moving on from a cornerback. But that, I think, changed a little bit with Patrick Robinson. And so, you know, Kendricks is the one that just sort of screams to me that if there's going to be a trade, I think that he's a pretty good candidate.
Okay. Last question is, what are you hearing about who's going to be taking number one as the number one quarterback? And how quickly do quarterbacks come off the board?
Right. So the last time that I checked in on that, the Browns brass hadn't come to a consensus as to who they wanted to take, which put a whole lot of different options on the table. You know, so I think that at least at last check, there was a split in that front office about whether it would be Darnold or whether it would be Allen. You know, I think ultimately, it sort of depends on whose voice matters the most and who they're carrying it for, but the consensus seems to be that Darnold is the top prospect. If ends up going Allen at number one, then I think the Giants have a legitimate chance of staying in at that number two spot and taking Darnold. And then you have Allen and you have Baker Mayfield. I mean, I think that there's a lot of teams that are jockeying to get within the first, say, seven picks. And I wouldn't be surprised if four come off the board in that wow. span. I mean, I think there's going to be a big run on
quarterback. Yeah, well, that's going to push Barkley down to a team that's going to be pleased to have him there, like six or seven.
Yeah, unless he goes, you know, he finds if the Giants aren't happy with, you know, say Darnold doesn't fall, then do they take Saquon at two? Mm-hmm. I mean, Barkley's going to go. Sort of depends on the moving parts here. But I guess from everybody else that's in the back of the draft, which includes the Eagles, it seems like there's a lot of teams that are really trying to get their quarterback position solved this year and in the first round. And that means that some talent will get pushed down the board. And that's, you know, it's good news for the world champs and the rest of those guys in the back end of the first round.
All right, Timmy, always a pleasure. Enjoy the offseason until the draft.
All right, Mike. Yeah, it's heating up, man. Not much of an offseason.
Yeah, I got you.
We're already in April, brother.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.
All right, man. I'll talk to you.